Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode. This is actually going to be a really special episode. Well, it depends. If you like me, it's going to be a special episode. If you just listen in for the guests, this is going to be a terrible episode because I am just going to do a rant on cleaning. I get so much feedback, questions, concerns, misunderstanding, and confusion around bidding. How to bid, how much to bid, when to, everything bidding, how much to charge by square foot, by this, by that, is it too high, is it too low? This is going to be hopefully the be all and end all. So every time I get that question, I can send everybody to this podcast and answer all your questions. So let's dive right in. Oh, well, first of all, I always want to start by thanking you, Cleaning Nation. This show grows 100% based on you loving the show, sharing it with other owners of cleaning companies, residential, commercial, anyone that wants to grow their cleaning company. If you've got someone you want to be their new best friend that's struggling, they're working too hard, they're not making any money, they're just dying, share the show, invite them into Cleaning Nation. And if you're getting value, they'll definitely get value. And that's the only way we grow because you guys are amazing. As long as you keep sharing the show, making it huge, we'll keep doing it. All right. Oh, that said, if you're listening to the podcast, check out our YouTube channel. If you're on the YouTube channel, know that we've got a podcast. They're both 100% free. You can subscribe and you'll get every single episode downloaded or available to you. So subscribe to YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. If you're getting value, give us some 5-star reviews, share with the world. If you're not getting value, my apologies. I guess don't listen anymore. What can I tell you? You will be missed. Enough of that nonsense. Let's jump in to bidding. First and foremost, I wanted to go over the biggest mistake I found. If I could just change one thing in Cleaning Nation, it would be pricing too low. For those of you that listen to the show, you know that the last thing I do every show we have a business owner on that I'm coaching is we give them the lightning round. And one of the questions is, what's the biggest mistake that you've made? By far, the most popular, I don't know if popular is the right word, but the most common answer is, I didn't charge enough, especially when I started. It's almost all new guys, almost no one that's been in the, or gals, no one that's been in the business for more than probably 3 or 4 years does that. But for the first couple of years, that is the biggest temptation, is not to charge enough. So I just want to encourage you. I've never had anyone go out of business or tell me, oh, my business almost died because I charged too much. I never hear that. But day in, day out, I hear, I didn't charge enough. I don't charge enough. How do I fix it? It's a pain in the butt. So for those of you that are brand new, raise your prices or price based on how we're going to, I'm going to give you a step-by-step how to bid right here, the right way in this podcast. Bid like this from the beginning and you won't have to be that guy or gal that, you know, starts off pricing too low. And that can set you back a year, 2 years, right? If you just, because remember, everything good that happens in your business comes from margin. If there's not enough margin, you can't do things like buy the right equipment, surprise and delight your customer, pay your employees well, make a fair wage that makes it worthwhile for you to come into work. Everything good for your customer comes from margin. So get the customers to understand that and want to pay for a good experience as opposed to the customer that wants to negotiate and doesn't have the right budget, that's the wrong customer, okay? So first and foremost, the biggest mistake you can make is bidding too low. Second, people get trapped into this. I've had Mrs. Johnson for 5 years, or I remember that company was my first account and I'm loyal to them, so I can't. And somehow you guys conflate loyalty with not charging enough, which is crazy. So we want to raise prices every year. It doesn't matter who they are, how nice they are. If they're mean, we fire them, right? But that doesn't have anything to do with pricing. Good customers, bad customers, they all get the same pricing, and we're going to tell you how to do that, but you want to raise your prices every year. So it should never be like, oh, it's been 5 years and I've never raised prices on whoever. Every year, you look at the price. Now, and I don't mean you raise prices on every customer every year, but every year you do review all of your customers and raise prices on the one that need price raises. And I would probably send out an email or a letter saying, hey, we raise prices exactly once a year. And to the people that are no price raise, go, hey, you're such a good customer. Prices, you know, cost of labor and providing the service has gone up a little, but not too much. So we're going to keep your prices the same. And then of course, for the people that you do need to raise prices on, let them know, but do that once a year for review everybody every year. Don't just get in the habit of, you know, that guy's been here forever, that gal's been forever, so the pricing stays the same. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing, should I bid in person? I get a lot of that on the residential side. So and a lot of this is going to be the same for residential and commercial. For the stuff that's going to be different, I'll tell you. Commercial, yes, you always bid in person. Do not bid online or via email or text or any of this, or on the phone. You got to go in person if it's a commercial bid. That's a short answer there. On the residential, there's kind of two ways to go about it. You really have to decide what kind of business you want to be. If you want to be a brick and mortar cleaning business, especially if you don't have a lot of online traffic, then you're going to want to bid in person. the benefits to bidding in person is you can have a conversation around that specific person's pain, what they need, why they need it, and really understand why they're reaching out to you and how you can make their life better. That's very difficult to do on a one-to-one basis online. So you're going to close a lot more bids when you go out in person. So if you don't have a tremendous amount of traffic coming in, that's probably the way you want to do it on the residential side. Again, in commercial, you always bid in person. Now, there are folks, even some of my clients, that make a great amount of money and have a great business, and they don't do that. It's all online, right? A lot of some of the franchise companies are doing this where it's all scheduled. I know Launch 27's got a product where it's like online, scheduled online, everything's online, and that's great. That's a good business plan. It's just very different. At that point, you're almost a marketing company or an online janitorial company more than a brick and mortar. There's no right or wrong. Just understand you got to create a really good funnel that's going to educate them, right? Because if you give them no information but the price, it's online. They're just going to buy the lowest price. They can literally check all of your online competitors and just go with the lowest price. And that's exactly what they do if no one gives them information as to why they should invest with you or trust you with this problem. So if you're going to do an online bidding solution for residential, you just have to make sure you've got a nice funnel that educates them, asks them questions, understands their real pain, their real need, and is able to convert that. And you're going to have a hard time competing against the folks giving bids one-on-one, but it can be a lot more automated. The trick with this is you need a lot of traffic, right? You need to be able to have a lot of qualified traffic coming to your site. If you're only getting, you know, a couple hundred visitors a month, it's just really hard to do that. So a lot of times for the smaller towns, it's really tough. If you're in a big market like LA or Atlanta or New York, there's enough traffic out there. You know, there's tens of thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people and or businesses that need cleaning every month. And they're constantly coming into the market. So you can kind of get away with that. So anyway, but just know that you want to think that through. That's a big thing. You really want to walk that through. Now, the next thing is, if you bid in person, how do you do that? And we're gonna spend most of our time, I'm gonna walk you through step by step on knowing exactly how much to charge, but I wanna give you a little bit of information of what that bid process looks like. If it's online, it's online, right? You just have your prices. Hopefully you've got some sort of funnel that's gonna educate them and explain to them and show them why you can solve their pain for that price better than anybody else. But if you're gonna be in person, on the residential, always plan on leaving that appointment with a no, right? You're not a fit, you're too expensive, I don't like you. But fine. A no is absolutely fine. Or a signed credit card authorization form and the first appointment scheduled. Okay. We don't want to go out and either not give a bid and say, I'll email you the bid or we'll figure it out later. You always want to set the expectation that you're coming out to solve their problem, to take care of their pain. And at the end of the appointment, you're either going to agree that you can and should solve their pain and you're going to set up their first appointment and take their credit card authorization and make them a customer, or you can't and you're going to leave. You don't want the think it overs. Okay. But a lot of people are like, oh, I have to go print up a bid. No, you don't. Have it ready. Have something pre-printed and just fill it in, right? It doesn't need to be fancy. It needs to be done. So be ready to get them started as a customer. Never spend all the time to drive out, talk to them, get their pain, get them all excited, and then leave and email them a bid later. Wrong, wrong, wrong. If you're going to email bids, don't even go out there, right? If you're out there, get it taken care of. On the commercial side, depending on the size of it, I'd still have that always be the default plan. When possible, you want to leave with a credit card authorization and the start date, right? And for residential, it could be tomorrow. For commercial, sometimes it's 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in the future, but you still want to have them sign the service agreement and the credit card authorization form and plan to start. You know, oftentimes it's the first of the coming up month. That should always be the plan, even if you've got a longer bid, right? I like to call them service agreements as opposed to contracts. But if yours is longer, that's fine. Still write it out and get it done when you're there. Don't leave. If you do leave, because sometimes it's going to be a $10,000 bid and you can't possibly do all that in one appointment, that's fine. Just come back with an appointment. It should never be, I'm going to email you the bid, because what happens, you know as well as I do, once you give them the number, you're playing hide and seek with your customer, right? You're seeking and they're hiding and it's a pain in the neck. So you always set an appointment to give the bid in person with the expectation on that appointment that they're either going to sign the contract or sign the service agreement, get you set up, or tell you no. But at no point do you just email the bid and they say, well, we'll think it over. We'll talk to whomever. And if you're not sure about that process, we've done other podcasts. I'll try and put a link to it so you know how to do that. So the big thing is if you're going to bid in person, expect to sign them up as a customer or to have them tell you no right then and there. Don't make it a longer process where you come back, except for if you're commercial and it's a larger contract and it's too much to kind of figure out right then and there, in which case you make a second appointment. You never, never email a bid. That's the worst of both worlds. Unless, of course, like I said, you're an online business and that's how you do it. But if you're not an online business, you're going to take the time to go out and see them in person. Don't email them a bit. All right. The big thing I want to get to is so many people think it's price and it is not price. They want their pain solved. So that's the key. If you don't understand their pain, you can't, you're just going to go to the price, right? They're just going to take the cheapest one because they don't feel like anyone understands them. What they're really looking for is someone saying, I understand you. I know that it's not so much that you don't like dirty dishes. It's that when you come home from work, you can't relax because those dirty dishes are staring at you. Or you feel guilty because you should be spending time. You want to be spending time with your kids, but the house is a mess. You have to do that. Or whatever the case may be, there's a real pain that they have in their lives that's associated with their house not being clean. On the commercial side, it could be I'm constantly getting, you know, I'm the office manager for a dentist office, and I'm constantly getting the patients and the dentist, i.e. my boss, yelling at me because the place looks like a mess and this is affecting my job security. That's the pain that they have, right? Not they want to save a nickel per month. So understand their pain. And that's one of the things, if you're going to bid in person, that's a big advantage. You can understand their pain. It's very hard to communicate that you understand their specific personal pain online, right? It's possible. You can do some of it, right? If you know all of the dentists have similar pain, you can kind of communicate that you understand that general pain, but the more specific you can be, the better. Okay. That said, that's the first thing we want to do is understand their pain. Talk about them, listen to them, don't talk about you. So many of us want to go out there and go, we do this, we clean that. Oh, this your last cleaning company is doing a terrible job. We're going to do so much better. We. They don't care about you. That's their least favorite subject. Their most favorite subject is them. So you're going to ask questions and listen. What made you invite me out here? What's not working? Tell me about that. Can you give me an example? How does that make you feel? How long have you been dealing with this? What have you tried? How has that worked? What is this costing you? These are the kinds of questions that you want to ask. Notice none of that was, we're green certified. We have the best employees. We've been in business. They don't care about any of that. It's all you. Why did you call me here? What's going on in your world? You know, I don't know how I can help until I understand what the problem is. So make sure that's the focus on the bid. All right. Now that we've got kind of all the soft skills around bidding, let's go right into the hard skills. How do I know how much to charge? I don't want to be that guy or gal that charges too little. I want to have confidence that when I say this is what this is worth, that I'm right. Okay. If you're just going to take one thing away from this this broadcast, other than don't charge too little, is the thing that matters is cost of goods sold. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. Actually, I'm going to modify it. The only thing that matters is cost of goods sold. That's how much it's going to take you to do this job. And we're going to walk through exactly how to get that number. Okay. It's not mysterious. What it is not, what other people charge. So why call around? It doesn't matter. If other people charge $2 an hour, would you do that? No, you'd be broke. If other people charge $10,000 an hour, would you do that? No, you get zero customers because they're getting zero customers. It doesn't matter what other people are charging. You don't know what their business model is. You don't know if they're successful, if they're making money or losing money. You don't know anything about them. So what other people charge doesn't matter. Not what they claim that they're paying their people now, right? I've got a lady comes out and does it for a nickel. Well, why did you invite me out? If she's doing such a great job, why am I here, right? And obviously people will lie. So what they claim they're paying their people now, not doesn't matter. Not dollars per square foot, right? Oh, commercial, this is a dentist office and I read somewhere that medical offices, I can clean 5,000 square feet an hour and it should be, you know, X amount per square foot. That's not how we do it. And we don't want to communicate to your customer dollars per hour. This is more residential, but you don't want to be like, oh yeah, I'll have my people come out $40 an hour, 30, none of whatever dollars per hour. That's not what you want to communicate. Internally, we're going to figure dollars per hour. That's part of the process I'm going to walk you through. But externally, that's not what we tell people. We are solving a pain for them for a monthly fee, not dollars per hour. Dollars per hour is you give me $32 or $41 or whatever your rate is, and I'll have my cleaner stick her hand in your toilet or run this vacuum over your carpet. That's low wage work. Solving pain is high wage work, right? So we always want to solve pain for a monthly fee. All right. So the only thing that matters is cost of goods sold. It doesn't matter what they claim they're paying their people. It's not dollars per square foot. It's not what other people charge. None of that matters. And the reason I know all this, I get in the Facebook group. This is what you guys are asking. How many dollars per square foot? It's an 8,000 square foot building. How much should I charge? Those are the wrong questions. That's not how you figure it out. All right, let's walk through the steps on how to actually figure out a bid. That's, I think, what you guys all wanted, but I wanted to lay a foundation so you had all the information that you need to do that. Step one, be clear on what they want. Just like we talked about. Do not sell them what you think. This happens more often in residential than commercial, But there's a lot of residential folks out there like, I clean better than anybody else in the whole wide world. That may or may not be. It's generally not what your customer wants. Let's think of the biggest burger joint in the world. It's not Bob's Burgers in Indianapolis that actually has, and I'm making this up, but say there's one place in town or in the world that has the best burgers. They're probably tiny. No one's ever heard of them. The biggest burger joint is McDonald's. And let's be honest, their burgers ain't great. You can get a better burger just about anywhere than McDonald's. Sorry, McDonald's. You guys have a great business model. And I've eaten plenty of your terrible burgers, but that's not what you do. What McDonald's does is says you can go anywhere in the United States for sure. And just about anywhere in the world, they get a Big Mac that tastes exactly the same for the exact same $1.97 or whatever it is. You can have the exact same experience. It'll smell the same. It'll feel the same. It'll look the same. You can have a very predictable, reliable experience with a very average burger anywhere in the country for sure. And oftentimes anywhere in the world. Sometimes they make them a little different globally, but generally the same experience anywhere. That's the amazing thing. As cleaners, we want the same thing. We want to understand what they're looking for. And that's what customers want, right? When I'm driving with my kid and there's Bob's Burger Shack, which might be the best burger in the world, it looks like it's a little dirty. I don't know if they're going to have a player, if they're going to have bathrooms, if it's going to be what, I don't know. But there's the McDonald's. I know the burger ain't going to be great, but I know what I'm going to be getting. So don't be Bob's and try and convince people, I clean, quote unquote, the best in the world. And that's why I'm successful. No, it's not. A lot of customers don't want the quote unquote best cleaning. They want you not to annoy them, right? If you're the way to give the best cleaning is to have a team of 10 people in there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constantly cleaning. They don't want that. That's going to annoy their lifestyle, right? So they're not typically looking for the best cleaning. They're looking for someone that understands their pain and solve it. So be clear on what they want and give them a bid that fits what they want, right? This works a little more for commercial than residential. On commercial, especially if it's, you know, over $1,000 a month, a couple thousand bucks a month, we're going to customize our services. We don't have offerings where it's like, well, we're going to have to wax and buff your floors every 6 months. And he's like, I don't even have floors, right? So obviously, depending on the type of building, how often they need, what kind of service they want, you're going to customize that bid. And most commercial folks get that. A lot of times the residential, like, no, you're going to get this cleaning and I'm going to do it quote unquote right. This is their home and their building. Whatever they want, that's what's right, right? And if that's not something you do, then don't bid the job. But we really want to understand what they want and solve their pain, not try and jam this quote unquote right cleaning or best cleaning down their throat. That's what your opinion is of a best cleaning. Feel free to clean your house that way, but let's not clean their house that way. All right. The second thing is you want to get their budget. And I'm going to put up a link to that in the show notes page, which you get at growmycleaningcompany.com. By the way, everything we do, all of the free stuff, all of the paid stuff, anything, any tool you need to grow your cleaning company just a little, to stop cleaning yourself, to grow to $1 million, to make more money, to clean less hours, any of those things, all the tools you need are at growmycleaningcompany.com. Almost all of them are free. There's some paid stuff I help with that's amazing, but everything's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Go check that out. In addition to that, this podcast and the show notes, which will have all the links I'm talking about, also growmycleaningcompany.com. That said, I will link to how to get budget because I don't want to get into that right now, but make sure you get their budget before you give them a bid. So many people, like we talked about, once you give them the bid, they never call you back and it's now you're chasing them. But before you give them the bid, they'll talk to you. So make sure before you give them the bid, you understand their budget. And sometimes you'll even do two prices, right? If you get a budget that's, you know, on the commercial side, $1,000 a month, and you've walked through everything that they need and you know good and well, it's going to cost them $1,300 a month to provide that result. You might give them two bids a month. You might give them two bids. The first bid for $1,300 to do everything that they said they needed, so you actually solve their pain for more money than they wanted. The second bid might be $1,000. If they said my budget's $1,000, you might give them $1,000 bid and say, this isn't going to do A, B, and C, right? You needed all 10 of these things is what you wanted, but we can't do that. Or we can, but it's $1,300. If you want everything you need, it's $1,300. If you're hard on that $1,000 bid, here's the things that we can't do, right? So once you have that budget, you can kind of do a dual bid, one that covers everything they want and may or may not fit their budget, one that fits their budget, may or may not cover everything they want, but you at least give them options as opposed to just saying, here's the price, take it or leave it. All right. And again, we go over that in some other episodes. I'll link to it. So the steps that you need to create pricing properly, this is the meat of it. Now that you've got all the foundation you need, we're actually going to tell you how to bid. First and foremost, calculate man hours, not time hours, right? If it takes 6 hours times three people or 6 hours times two people, those are different. We want man hours. So 6 hours times two people is 12 man hours. 6 hours in time times three people is 18 man hours. Everything we're going to do is by man hours. Also, I often say, don't talk about hours, you know, dollars per hour. That is externally. When you're selling, we never going to have these kinds of conversations with our customer. Internally, that's the foundation of how we price. So just to be clear, We do not have dollars per hour conversations with our external customers or prospects. All we have when we're figuring out the price internally is dollars per hour. Okay, I just want to make that clear. So first and foremost, how many man hours is this thing going to take? And again, if it's a three time for commercial, if it's three times a week and you've got two people there for 2 hours, that's that, right? If it's residential, you figure, you know, but man hours, that's step one. Step two, determine average hourly pay. And you might go, well, I've got some people at $10 an hour and I've got some people at $12 an hour. Well, then figure 11, right? It's your average pay, understanding some people can get paid a little more, some people can get paid a little less, but on average, that's what they get paid. Add the other costs that you have associated with having employees, workers' compensation, Social Security, FUTA, SUTA, federal unemployment tax, state unemployment tax. Add all that in. I, in Phoenix and Arizona, use 20%, okay? In New York, in Chicago, and like San Francisco, some of the more heavily regulated cities or states, you might need 30%. In some of the smaller states, like Texas, where there's not as much, maybe it's a little less, but you have to add that in, right? If you pay $11 an hour, you know good just as well as I, or say you pay $10 an hour to make the math easy, someone works 40 hours, that's $400 on their paycheck. But you're like, hey, the payroll company takes $473 out of my account. That's what we need to account for this, right? You understand that whatever you pay your person, it costs you more than that. That's what we need to add. I use 20%. All right. Then you're going to divide, and I'm going to go through this. I'm going through the steps now, and then I'm going to go through an example with the actual numbers so you can kind of see what this looks like. Once you've got your total cost, you divide by the cost of goods sold that you want. Remember when I said cost of goods sold is the key to the whole operation? That's exactly right. You're going to divide by the cost of goods sold that you want. How much should my cost of goods sold be? Good question. Thought you'd ever ask. Thanks, Clean Nation. That really depends on your customer. The more hours they're going to buy, typically the cheaper there are, right? If you're a residential customer or you're talking with a residential prospect and they want you to have one person come out and it's going to be a 3-hour job per month and they just want you once a month, your cost of goods sold for that's going to be far higher, right? Because you still have to bill them, you still have to talk to them, you have to send somebody out, you still have to deal with them as a customer, than the commercial account that's like, hey, I've got 10 man hours a night, 5 days a week, 12 months a year. That his cost per hour is going to be cheaper. So the cost of goods sold is going to be lower on accounts that have less work and higher, meaning you're going to pay more to do this on jobs with more hours. Okay. So let's walk through what that means. If your hourly rate is 10, all right, so let's just walk through, say, and I know with the residential, it's going to be less, but I'm doing commercial because it's a little more complex and the residential folks can be like, oh, well, it's much easier to do my bidding. So let's say we're doing a commercial bid and they want you to come out they want you to come out twice a week, great. And you've determined that it's going to take two guys 2 hours every time you're there. Okay, so that's 4 man hours per clean, right? Every time you go to clean, you know it's going to take two guys 2 hours. That's 4 man hours per clean. And because you're coming twice a week, that's 8 hours per week, okay? You're going to multiply times 4.333. There are not 4 weeks in a month. There are 4.3 weeks in a month. You'll notice every 3 or 4 months, you'll have 3 Fridays in a month as opposed to 2, or 5 Fridays in a month as opposed to 4. So you multiply your weekly hours times 4.33, not times 4. There are more than 4 weeks per month. Because obviously, if you figure 7 days in a week, 4 weeks, that's 28 days. We all know that other than February, months all have 30 or 31 days. So it doesn't sound like a big deal until you start doing bigger numbers and it gets to be a big deal. So I'm going to go through that again. And I've got the numbers here on the screen for those of you watching the video so you can see it. Two guys a week. If you're cleaning two times a week, and I shouldn't have done this example two times two, but here we are. If you're cleaning two times a week and two guys are there for 2 hours, that's 4 man hours per clean, right? Two guys times 2 hours is 4 man hours. If you're going twice a week, 4 times 2 is 8 hours per week. If you multiply 8 hours a week times 4.33 weeks in a month, you've got 35 hours, okay? So that's the first thing you need to do is determine how many hours per month, because we're always giving them a monthly bid because we're solving their problem for a monthly fee. So step one, determine how many hours per month it takes to clean. Oh, real quick thing for the smaller folks out there that go, oh, but I clean. It makes no difference. You do this exact same thing, whether you're cleaning or an employee's cleaning. And you're like, but I don't pay myself to clean. So my cleaning rate is 0. No, it's not. Whatever you're going to pay your employees, you base your time assuming the same $11. You're like, well, shouldn't I charge more because I'm the owner? Nope. You can't give any more value than a regular cleaner, right? If I've got the president of the United States cleaning my toilet, it still doesn't bring me any more value to my life than if I've got a janitor cleaning my toilet. So even if you're going to be planning to do this work, you do this process exactly the same, and the hourly rate you use is whatever you're going to pay your employee, because the goal is to pay employees to do this as soon as possible. All right, so once we know how many hours per month it's going to take to clean this building, you figure out your hourly rate, right? So if your hourly rate is $10 an hour, and you figure your workers' comp, your Social Security, all that stuff brings it up to $12 an hour. Remember, I use 20%. You want to, it varies state by state. In this example, we're going to use 20%. So you're going to figure out your gross cost per hour, right? If you, when your payroll comes out, how much do they really take out of your business account versus, you know, what you said that you'd pay? So you use your gross rate, which is, again, I usually add just 20% to my hourly rate. So if it's $10, let's figure 12 for this example. $12 times 35 hours. Remember, we figured this job's going to take 35 hours a week. Or I'm sorry, 35 hours a month. 35 hours a month times $12 an hour. And that's going to be your average cost if you're paying your people $10, would be $420 a month. That is your cost of goods sold. We said at the beginning, cost of goods sold is key. So in this instance, $420 is the magic number. And I know some of you are saying, what about supplies? What about, usually that's 1 or 2 or 3%. So if you want to add, and that's not vacuums. Vacuums are not supplies. Those are equipment that you use job to job to job. The only things that are supplies that are things that you consume on the job site. So rags aren't even supplies because you use them for job to job to job. If you put chemicals on the job site and use them up at that job, that would be a supply. So if you want to add 1%, you can do that, but it's a small amount. So I'm going to leave out supplies for this conversation just because it makes it unnecessarily complex. But if you do want to add supplies, it's a small amount, okay? So just to review the steps, you figure out how many hours it's going to take per month. You figure out your hourly rate and you multiply them. In this example of two guys a week that are a job that needs cleaning twice a week, and there's two guys a week that take 2 hours, we figured that that's 4 man hours per cleaning, eight man hours per week, 35 hours a month. We figured that our hourly rate all in is $12. 12 times 35 is $420 a month. Now, that gets us to the key number that we need. $420 is what it costs you to do this, right? That's your key number. Now, the magic comes when you figure, well, how do I turn that into what I charge? It depends on what you want your cost of goods sold to be. Generally, on the residential side, I kind of like that 40 to 50%. I would shoot for 45 if I owned a residential cleaning company. On the commercial side, I'd go anywhere from 45 to like 65, depending on how big the jobs are. It's a smaller range with residential because most of your jobs are going to be, you know, $100 to $300 a month. They're all around $250, right? So, that 45% is a pretty good cost of goods sold. For commercial, good Lord, you could have a job for $500 a month and you could have a job for $50,000 a month. Obviously, your cost of goods sold is going to be very different. As long as you're $5,000 a month or under, I don't like the cost of goods sold being over 60%. And I'd have to talk to you one-on-one if you've got some $100,000 a month job. But let's just assume if you've got your average job is $1,000, I'm going to go 50%, right? That's what I'm going to encourage you to be. So residential, I like that 40 to 50% range for your cost of goods sold. And I like 45%. That's what I'd set my cost of goods sold if I started a residential cleaning company. On the commercial side, it depends more on your customer, but I'd shoot for 50% just to make life easy. So if the cost of your job is $420, and we calculated that, and you wanted a 60% cost of goods sold, you divide 420 divided by 0.6 or divided by 60%, that would come up with a $700 price, right? $700 times 60% is 420, meaning you'd have 420 cost of goods sold, and your gross profit, the amount of money that you have left over for profit and overhead for you to pay your bills and pay yourself is $280, okay? If you want a 50% cost of goods sold, obviously just double the 420, right? That would be 840, right? That's of $840, 420 goes to the cost of goods sold, actually getting cleaning done. And that leaves 50% left over for profit and overhead. If you wanted a 40% cost of goods sold, you divide your $420 by 0.4 or by 40%, you get $1,050. That gives you a 40% cost of goods sold. So you can see as your cost of goods sold goes down, the cost for you to provide the service goes down, the price goes up, right? That's how it should work. Higher cost of goods sold, lower price. Lower cost of goods sold, higher price. So that's how it works. So that's pretty much what I had for you today. I'm going to give you a quick summary and that'll be that. First and foremost, don't price too low. Use this process that we did. Second, I like bidding in person. Certainly if you're commercial, if you're residential, generally that's going to, you're going to have a much higher closing ratio. You can still do an online business. Just know that that's the business you're in. Make sure you understand their pain and you're bidding to solve their pain, not to clean. The only thing that matters is cost of goods sold. It's not what other people charge. It's not what they claim they pay people now. It's not dollars per square foot. It's what is your cost of goods sold? And that's it. That's really it. And how do you get cost of goods sold? You figure out what your hours per month is. You figure out what your average rate is per hour and you multiply, right? If your average rate's 12 bucks an hour and this job's going to take you 35 hours, that's $420 per month. And then you divide by the cost of goods sold you want. If you want a 50% cost of goods sold, you divide by 50%. That's pretty much it. So I would love your feedback. Make sure you leave any comments or questions if you have any. All the links and everything else you're going to need are at the on the show notes page at growmycleaningcompany.com. Hopefully this was helpful. Love you guys. Always great to hear. And again, this was just out of all the feedback I've gotten in the Facebook group and face-to-face. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.